fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we look at an ambitious new community project called Toward One Wausau, with the goal of bringing people together despite the racial and cultural divisions that work to tear us apart. I'm Glenn Moberg. Toward One Wausau is co-sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the Wausau Daily Herald, with partners that include the Wausau School District, the Wausau Police Department, the Marathon County Sheriff's Department, and the social justice group NAOMI. The project grew out of the racial animus spawned by a controversial court case that involved a Wausau teenager, Dylan Yang, who stabbed another boy, 13-year-old Isaiah Powell, to death. The divisions that grew out of that case played out in the courtroom, in meetings of the Marathon County Board, and in a noisy demonstration in downtown Wausau. Well, we've got four members of Toward One Wausau on our panel today. Macy Yang Herr, an associate professor of education at UW-Stevens Point. Tony Gonzalez, the executive director of EAG Interpreters. He helps Latinos navigate the criminal justice system in Wausau. Also, Chris Norfleet, he's on the staff of the Boys and Girls Club and also the founder of an organization called People for the Power of Love. And Ben Bliven is Wausau's deputy chief of police. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think of Toward One Wausau? How realistic is it to expect people to bury the hatchet and get along, given the divisions that play out not just locally but on the national stage? You can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Well, let's get started. Let's have the four of you introduce yourselves. We're going to start with you, Tony Gonzalez. You're a co-chair of this organization. Where did you grow up, and how did you end up in Wausau?
Good morning, Glenn, and good morning to everybody listening and everybody here in the studio. Well, I was born in New York, raised in Columbia, South America, and most of my formative years were there till I returned back in 1980. I got to Wausau via Minocqua, actually. When I wanted to return back to the country after being abroad with the military, I asked my brother if I can come live with him since I had a family. So I ended up in wonderful Minocqua, Wisconsin. And shortly after driving so many times through Wausau, I found that it's a wonderful town. I love it. And I am just so proud of being involved in this project because I believe in the great potential that this town has.
Now, you're the founder of EAG Interpreters. You help Latinos navigate the criminal justice system in Wausau. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. Back in 2005, I got certified by the Supreme Court to be a court interpreter. I got to renew that currently, but I still work with a lot of the Hispanic community, the public defender's office, and the court. Assisting Hispanics to understand the system, first with the language and independently for them to understand the whole process from the beginning to, you know, the next steps in the court system. So that's what I do with them.
Now, you're the co-chair of this organization along with Laura Hunt and Mark Trinan of the Wausau Daily Herald. Why did you feel the need to get involved in it?
Well, initially, 2 years ago, I was the executive director for an organization out of Merrill called Comunidad Hispana. And that kind of opened a window to me to see that a lot of the Hispanic population here needed a voice and needed to participate more in the process. So this is the reason why after many different things happened, I felt it was important for me to get involved to explore the diversity that we have here. And to work together with everybody because I believe that we have a wonderful, diverse community that working together we can just reach many goals.
Macy Herr, you teach at UW-Stevens Point, but you live in Wausau. In fact, you came here with your parents from Southeast Asia when you were very young. You told me you're not second generation, you're generation 1.5. What did you mean by that?
Well, Glenn, and thanks for having me on here as well. When I say the 1.5 generation, I'm talking about I'm one of those individuals who came over to the United States with my parents. I was born in Ban Vinai, Thailand, And then I was the eldest of six that were, like I said, born to my parents. And then we came over to the States.
And it must have been a struggle for your parents to assimilate into central Wisconsin, a different culture, a different language, facing a great deal of prejudice at that time.
I would say so. I mean, I think that they made it work, but I think the most difficult part was the language barrier. I know that that was a huge challenge for my parents. Luckily, we had sponsors who were able to help us.
Yeah, and yet you were able to get a doctorate and become a professor at UW-Stevens Point. Your parents must be very proud of you.
I think they are, yes.
Why did you feel a need to get involved in Toward One Wausau?
Well, you know, Glenn, I grew up here. I grew up in Wausau. I spent most of my life here prior to going on to college. And I felt like I knew this community. I mean, there were some challenging times growing up, and after finishing my degree, I felt I had much to come back and offer.
Chris Norfleet, you live in Wausau, but you grew up on the south side of Chicago in the Englewood neighborhood, which has its share of problems. Tell us about that.
Yes, and how you doing? And thank you for letting us speak here. Growing up in the south side of Chicago was a difficult and gut-wrenching experience often. And for many young men like myself of color, it's where you are born and you die, and poverty is your birthright.
And when did you get out of the south side of Chicago, and what drew you to Wausau?
Well, when I was in high school, one of my brothers lived in Minnesota, and he brought me up there to go to high school, and I was fortunate enough to be able to remove myself from that environment. But my wife, she's from this area, and her sister opened up a coffee shop, so she wanted to come help her. And seeing as I'm the type of guy, I will pack my bags and move around, that's what we did.
And you're now working for the Boys and Girls Club. Tell us what you do there.
I basically run their organized sports, but I'd like to believe what I'm doing there is helping to lay the foundation for a different type of society with compassion and put the egos away and start embracing the sense of working together to build something.
You've also got your own organization when you founded called People for the Power of Love. Why did you start that organization, and tell us what its mission is?
I attempted to put this organization together a number of times, but my beautiful wife was able to inspire me to continue this walk. I did it because in my heart, I believe that there is more than one way to skin this cat. And I think my perspective is that we need to infuse all that we're doing with love. One of the great principles of my love is to do no harm. And that means that we should be able to resolve conflict without raising a hand to one another. And that sets the model for our children that we want.
And that's also probably why you got involved in Toward One Wausau, if I had to guess.
Yes, sir.
Ben Bliven, let's move to you. First, congratulations on your recent promotion, being named Deputy Chief of Police.
Thank you.
And how long have you been a police officer?
I've been a police officer in Wausau for going on 17 years now.
And did you grow up in this community?
Yeah, my wife and I both are DC Evers graduates, so we were long-term in this community. We went away for college for a few years and moved back to be close to family.
What are the challenges that cops face in dealing with minority populations?
Well, you know, I think the biggest challenge that we see today in our community and across our country is this divide, this division, where people are digging in their heels on both sides of the conversation. Where, there are people on the one side saying police are racist, and then there's the police on the other side that say, "No, we're not racist. We're doing our jobs," and that's the most difficult thing. And that's what's exciting about the Toward One Wausau project is, you know, at Wausau PD, we've been talking a while about, you know, how can we reach out and build a partnership with our minority communities, and what is it that we can do, to engage them in our community and really build that trust and that partnership that we need as a police agency. And I'm really excited to be part of this project.
And I'd like to open this up to all of you right now. Why did you feel we needed this kind of dialogue in the community? Anybody want to step forward with an answer to that?
Well, I felt very important, you know, on these tense political times, you know, whichever way people think of the candidates and president-elect, I think that rather than it being a problem, it's an opportunity to get this dialogue going and have some talk about what's going on, because I don't believe that the issues that we're talking about right now just came about with the last presidential campaign. They just simply got exposed. So it is such a great opportunity that we have here in Wausau with the group of people that we put together that want to work together of so many diverse backgrounds to get people back to the table. Let's start talking. Let's start working together. And so that's what was important. You know what? It's very hard to solve all the nation's problems. So we got to start in our little corner of the world, and here in Wausau is where we start.
How did this whole thing come together? How did the key players get involved? Macy, why don't you take that?
You know, I think that let me just say, first of all, that I think all over the community, there were from different sides wanted to bring people together. I mean, people had their different opinions, their different views, and at the end of the day, people said, we should just come together. I kept hearing that over and over again. And so it was important that this happened, not only because we felt here, those of us who are here, felt it was important, but I think many in the community felt it was important to do so also.
And you managed to get a lot of the key players involved, the Wausau Police Department, Marathon County Sheriff's Department, the school district, a lot of different folks working on this together.
Yeah, we felt that was very important to get various sectors of the community here, and obviously just, you know, community members, not necessarily someone in a professional role, anyone who felt invested in this community.
Back in late October, Toward One Wausau held a night of open dialogue. Did everybody here participate in that?
Yes.
Chris, why don't you tell us what your impressions were?
My impressions were what I've kind of felt all my life, and that is we don't know each other. I think I found that it was truth that more people live their lives in such segregated communities that where the things I was saying was a shock to my fellow men, which it shouldn't be. But because of our lack of integration, we really don't have a good feel for what we are experiencing as a community.
Why don't you be specific? You said some things that shocked other people. What were those things?
I think one of the things I told people was, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable again here, and it was that when I was growing up, dreaming was for sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And I've never had a dream of what I wanted to be. And when I was younger, I was never motivated or empowered to feel that way. And that is a totally separate experience for a lot of the people that were sitting at that table with me.
Do you feel that a lot of the people that you grew up with in the Englewood neighborhood in Chicago were in a similar situation where they didn't have dreams, they didn't have aspirations for their future?
Truly, and when I say that, I don't mean that, you know, people of color are incapable of dreaming. I just believe that we did not have the support of the community as well as the schools and other industries to help us to acquire that ability to dream. I don't think kids are born with that ability. I think that's something we're aspired to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend so much time just trying to make it home without being harmed, it can be a little difficult to try to strive for something greater.
Ben Bliven, what did you take away from the Night of Open Dialogue?
Well, the thing that I think is really important about that night and about this project in general is that it's a deliberative dialogue, which is a process facilitated by WIPS, you know, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy, and Eric Giordano. And so it's not a situation where people just go up in front of the room and air their grievances to the world. And you know, hopefully somebody picks up on it and solves those issues. It's a dialogue that's facilitated that we get to, like Chris said, we get to know each other. We get to know, you know, where are you coming from and what experiences have you had in this world? Because the truth of the matter is that we all, you know, experience the world in a different way. And the better we can understand each other and where we're coming from, the better we're going to be in the long run and being able to have a great, diverse community.
Tony?
Well, I think what Ben is saying is so, so important because it really puts in focus what Toward One Wausau wants to do. We want to have everybody of all walks of life, of all beliefs and everything, participate in this dialogue and deliberation. And like Ben was saying, you know, this deliberation is so important because you're not out there to put problems out there, but you put yourself as a person, your feelings, and we can come up to a commonality and try to get solutions to this. There's no right or wrong. It really becomes what's best and what's not. So it is very important for everybody that is listening out there to know that this Toward One Wausau has no preferences to the left, to the right, or nowhere. It wants everybody to be involved. We need everybody to participate. Everybody that breathes in Wausau, we need them to participate in this to make a much better community.
And Macy, what did you get out of the night of open dialogue?
You know, and I agree with both Tony and Ben on what they've already said. I think that whether it was that night or other events and discussions that have happened afterwards, mm-hmm. is we've learned that, you know, just coming together, being able to be open to hearing what each other has to say about whatever it might be and why the divide exists is powerful. That in itself is what's needed.
Now, there's also an ongoing community survey, which you can access at wpr.org/central. Again, that's wpr.org/central. And it asks a number of questions. When you think about the Wausau area as a place to live, work, and play, to what extent do you feel that it is a safe, comfortable, and welcoming place? What concerns do you have about the issue of race and ethnic differences, and why? Share one of those experiences or stories that have helped shape your opinions. What concerns do you hear friends, family members, or others talking about when it comes to issues of race or ethnic differences? Do you trust the police and other law enforcement agents in our community? And what should be done to address these types of concerns and issues, if anything? Those are some questions that really ask people to delve into areas that they might not be comfortable talking about. What kind of a response have you gotten?
Well, for my part, as a African-American, my response has been somewhat disappointing because people aren't really, in some circumstances, not ready to approach these questions openly and without fear of being judged. So it might have been different for other people sitting around this table, but I'm still wanting to be able to have these conversations besides with Ben and different members that's on this board because it is important. But we have a wall that's preventing us from answering these questions openly and honestly from our hearts.
Macy, do you agree with that?
I agree. And I think that we've been trying to be very strategic about making sure that we're having various people, you know, again, one corner of Wausau to the other corner, making sure that we are capturing all different voices in this survey. And what I found, at least for the ones that I've tried to gather, is there seems to be some polarizing, I guess, interesting perspectives. For instance, feeling safe in Wausau, seeing Wausau as a place of home, but at the same time realizing that racism exists and acknowledging that. So I think we're still trying to piece together what that all means. If I feel safe, I still feel comfortable, yet I acknowledge there's a lot of racism.
And Tony, your reaction to the comments you've seen on that survey?
Well, for one, it's important to for people to know that these surveys are totally anonymous. So you should be able to say what you want right there. But mainly what I have seen in these processes that we've gone through, including the survey, is that people do not understand the various functions that the different parts of government and city government and everything have to take. So, yeah, there is racism. But most of the time what I find out is that people don't understand. They don't know each other. They don't know different cultures, and that divides. And it's the fear of not knowing who is just like I am. So part of this process that we're trying to do is let's open up that door. Let's break down that wall so people get to know each other, get to know the, your police officer, what his function is. They get to know the court. So we are working on that, you know, very closely with all the stakeholders, with the courthouse, with judges, with the DA, with the public defender's office, with the schools, so that this dialogue really opens, that those barriers break down, and that way we can really relate more to each other.
Ben Blevin, do you agree with what you just heard?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I absolutely agree with it. You know, the, of course, the component of the survey that in, that really intrigues me professionally is the question in regards to police trust. Everything that we do as a law enforcement agency relies on the trust of our community. And so, you know, to be able to measure that and see how we're doing in terms of trust is really important, because, you know, we're not naive enough to think that there's 100% trust level in our community with police. So every day, you know, we go out, we talk to our staff about following our mission, engaging our community in partnerships, doing whatever we can to enhance the quality of life. And, you know, in order to be trusted, you know, we can't demand that trust. That is a, you know, it's a personal decision that everybody makes whether or not they're going to trust the police. So the only thing that we can do is do everything in our power to be worthy of trust. And so these surveys, you know, it's our hope that we can gain information from our community and how they feel about us and how we can do better.
The subject on Route 51 today is a new community project called Toward One Wausau. Our guests are UW Stevens Point Professor Macy Yang Her, Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters, Chris Norfleet of the Boys and Girls Club, and his own organization, and Wausau Deputy Chief of Police Ben Blevin. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. When we come back, we're going to take a close look at a court case in Marathon County that opened some old wounds and racial tensions, the Dylan Yang case. But we are going to take a short break right now. Here's Sly and the Family Stone with some Different Strokes for Different Folks.
I'm everyday people, yeah, yeah.
There isn't anyone who can accept the green man for living with the pack. Trying to be the skinny one, different strokes for different folks. So what it's so, and it's cool to do the do.
We got to live.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, dedicated to providing health care and improving the lives of Wisconsinites through the University Hospital and the UW Health American Family Children's Hospital. Reinvest, UW.org. Support also comes from Attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
Oh, dear God, dear soul, dear Mary, my home. Can we all just get along? Can we all just get along?
Guy Sebastian with his hit recording, Get Along, which was nominated for Song of the Year in 2012, taking us into our next segment on Route 51. As we discuss a new community project called Toward One Wausau. Our guests today are UW Stevens Point Professor Macy Yang Her, Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters, Chris Norfleet of People for the Power of Love, and Wausau Deputy Chief of Police Ben Blevin. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Aaron on Facebook says diversity is important for a number of reasons, and we as a community need to continue to do this good work that Toward One Wausau is doing. From the perspective of running a business, diversity is a major strength and helps us make better decisions. Employers have shared with me that they had lost out on great candidates who came here to interview for a job and maybe didn't feel very comfortable. Employers might also be able to help this cause. We want to focus on a court case that is part of the genesis of Toward One Wausau. It really came to a head this past summer. A Hmong boy, 15-year-old Dylan Yang, stabbed to death another boy, 13-year-old Isaiah Powell. The case led to a demonstration in downtown Wausau that involved Hmong community activists from as far away as California, and it exposed racial and cultural tensions inside the community. It also led to the suspension of Marathon County Board Chairman, Administrator rather, Brad Carger. Now, ironically, this was supposed to be a year of celebration for Wausau's Hmong community, marking 40 years since the first immigrants arrived from Southeast Asia. So let's listen to the recap. We'll come back on the other side and talk about it. In April, Wausau celebrated the 40th anniversary of the city's first Hmong immigrants. Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger was cheered as he performed a traditional dance. Carger noted the progress since 1976, when the new arrivals from war-torn Laos were met with suspicion.
There was a lot of post-war trauma that people had to work through. They had to work through language. It was hard. The progress has been unbelievable.
But at the end of May, it was a different scene, as hundreds of people demonstrated in the city's downtown. Paula Yang of the National Hmong Sisterhood had flown in from California.
We, the community across the nation, are brokenhearted to hear such verdict placed upon our Hmong son, Dylan Yang.
Dylan Yang, not related to Paula Yang, was the unlikely focus for a rally. He had been convicted of reckless homicide for killing a 13-year-old boy, Isaiah Powell, who was armed with a BB gun. Yang, then 15, stabbed Powell twice in the back. Despite his age, Yang was tried in adult court and faced 60 years in prison.
Reckless homicide? So how does that become a felony and serving an adult time? I have a hard time understanding that.
On stage, Brad Carger made a stunning statement of support.
I am Dylan!
When I was 15 years old, my judgment wasn't particularly good. The circumstances were right. If I was in a bullying situation, who knows what I could have done.
Have you gotten any negative reaction from people who say you shouldn't be stepping forward as a county official, as a community leader, to support someone who stabbed somebody to death?
Not yet. I expect that will be coming.
It was coming. Carger's action drew condemnation from law enforcement and a 30-day suspension from the Marathon County Board. Some, like lifelong resident Gerald Borkhart, thought Carger should have been fired.
He's divided the community, and when you make a mistake, you pay for it. I don't care what it is, you pay for it.
But for others, Carger's suspension opened old wounds. Chair Yang Kang, in his 60s, spoke through a translator. He had fought beside U.S. troops in Laos.
I'm here because I believe in the freedoms that we protected. We don't have freedom. Our troops died for nothing.
But the victim's family told a different story at Yang's sentencing. Isaiah's sister, Alexis Powell, demanded justice.
Isaiah's death has also torn our family apart. My grandparents, my aunts, my siblings, our family will never be the same.
Prosecutor Leslie Pluster painted Yang as a gang member who committed a vicious crime against a 13-year-old boy who never saw it coming.
He received two deep, hard stab wounds, one of them hard enough to lodge into his spine, and he was stabbed to death in front of his closest friends.
But others painted Yang as a victim of relentless bullying because of his Hmong heritage. University of Minnesota researcher Carrie Smolkowski said Dylan had been brutally beaten with a baseball bat while living in California.
The boys beat him with a bat so severely that he was unconscious in the parking lot.
Choking back tears, Dylan Yang asked Isaiah Powell's family for forgiveness.
I have to deal with this the rest of my life.
As a result of your actions.
Judge Lamont Jacobson sentenced Dylan Yang to 13 years in prison and 17 years of supervision, far less than the 60 years he could have received. When asked for his reaction, Brad Carger praised Jacobson and said, quote, I accept his rationale. The case remains a sad bookend for a year of celebration for Wausau's Hmong community, leaving questions about whether juveniles should be tried in adult court. Glenn Moberg, Wisconsin Public Radio News. Well, I'd like our panelists to respond to the Dylan Yang case and the rifts it opened up in the community. My impression is that this isn't a simple issue. There are matters of race and culture involved, but there's also very serious crime. There are victims, a victim of that crime, grieving family members, questions about the criminal justice system, and also the propriety of the involvement of the county administrator. What was it about this case and its aftermath that made you feel there was a need for dialogue. And Macy Herr, why don't we start with you?
You know, I think one thing that I think the community needs to realize about the Hmong community is that it's a small, tight-knit community. No matter where you are, I always, you know, it's very likely that you know someone who's related to someone else, even if they're way out in California. So when they hear about something like this, it impacts the whole Hmong community. I agree with you, Glenn, that it's complex. Some people who may not have been from this community may think that it was just a race issue. While I think that that's very possible that race had something to do with it, it certainly wasn't just race. It was much more complex than that.
Tony Gonzalez, your impressions of the Dylan Yang case and how it led in part to Toward One Wausau.
Well, it was a very difficult situation because I participated with Kamuni Naispana too, and we were not quite aware of every one of the participants. So there was moments that I did bring up to the event, you know, when they were questioning whether Dylan should be incarcerated at that moment or not. I did not go with that because, you know, he was responsible in some degree. That the degree to which he was responsible, that was for the courts and everybody else to judge. And what we wanted was fairness, for him to be adjudicated fairly. Why I thought it was important to get this Toward One Wausau too is, again, what I always say. You know, people oftentimes do not know the different functions of the different parts of this justice body. I believe that, you know, the police did their part. They had to do an arrest. The DAs had to prosecute. The judge, the defense needed to protect his rights, and the judge had to do a sentence. So everything happened in that fashion. Now, when we bring questions of how fair that is, then that's where we should intervene and try to come and bring some new players into this to see if, you know, whether a child like Dylan should be in adult court or in juvenile court. But that's the issue that we're tackling now. And mostly, like I said, it's a big matter of understanding what the function of each of the parts is.
Chris Norfleet?
Well, for me, I guess what I'm concerned about is, and what I got out of it, is like what Macy said. My belief is what has been done to get to know the Hmong community over these years, and what have the Hmong community did to get to know their greater community. I think part of what our problem is that we're wanting someone else to do all the heavy lifting. And I'm trying to be a part of a society that doesn't wait for these type of outbursts to make change. What are we doing to get to know each other before these happen? Because I think Isaiah Powell and Dylan Yang could have used the community support before they ended up in that incident. And I think the community at large still should show support for both of the families of these young men, because we should all take some ownership in what occurred. We should, as a community of adults, be aware of what our children are engaging in and how serious it is. So we can get all technical all we want, but where are we before the incident? That's what I'm concerned about. And what are we going to do to make sure that there's not another Dylan Yang or Isaiah Powell?
Ben Bliven, the involvement of the county administrator, Brad Carter, and his decision to actually lead that march to the courthouse drew a pretty sharp rebuke from your police chief, Jeff Hardell, in the form of a letter that was written to county board members and members of the Wausau City Council. Why did members of the law enforcement community react so strongly to Brad Carger's involvement?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not going to take sides. I'm not going to talk about, you know, whether or not Brad Carger was wrong or right in his actions, because at the end of the day, I think the truth is that this case has been very polarizing for our community. It's divided us along racial lines, I think. I think it's divided us law enforcement versus maybe anti-law enforcement individuals in our community. And I think what this case has brought to the surface is emotions and feelings that people in our community have had for a long time. And I agree with Tony to some degree that you know there might be a lack of understanding around the criminal justice system. And I think you know, in terms of some technicalities about why Dylan was in adult court. I mean, basically that was – it was state law. I mean, it's required that he goes directly into adult court.
And the question might be maybe we should change the state law.
Absolutely.
But that's a different question.
For sure. Absolutely. That you know, that's a matter of policy for our legislators. And I think, you know, it's probably more than just a lack of understanding. I think it comes down to maybe even skepticism and distrust of our criminal justice system from a minority community, and it's more than just a lack of understanding. We have to do a better job in the criminal justice system, like Chris said, of reaching out to our community and making sure that we are building those trust, building that trust within those communities and across our communities, so that when incidents like this occur. You know, like Chris said, hopefully we can prevent them and stop those from happening. But when they do occur, if there are concerns, if there are issues about what's happening, you know, leaders can come straight to us and say, hey, Ben, why did this happen in this way? And we can have good conversations about what we can and can't do, and what procedures we can do, what things we can do to change the law if that policy does need to be changed.
You were telling me when we talked on the phone yesterday that on the day of the sentencing, there were demonstrators outside. You wanted to go talk to them just to share their views, see where they were coming from, and you were nervous about doing it because you had a police uniform on.
Right. So there I was on the opposite end of the spectrum, right, where a lot of times, people of minority in the minority community don't feel like they can trust or approach law enforcement, and here I was responsible for, patrolling that area and making sure there was no, major outbursts or concerns or riots or anything of that nature during the Dylan Yang sentencing. And so as I'm driving around the courthouse and I see people out there holding signs and, in support of Dylan Yang, and I thought, boy, I wonder what they're feeling right now. And, I had the urge to go and talk to them, but I was really nervous about how I would be received in full police uniform. So of course there's power in numbers. So I got a police friend and we went together and we went and started talking to him. And I'll tell you, it was a tremendous experience for me personally to be welcomed into that group. Everybody wanted to talk to me and tell me how they were feeling. In fact, none of them were said anything that was anti-law enforcement at all. They were just very, very open about how they were feeling about Dylan and how they hope that we can all move forward together as a community after the sentence.
Tony Gonzalez. Oh, go on, Chris.
Oh, I wanted to say something, too, that Macy made a comment about the fact that the Hmong community is kind of tight-knit. And I think we kind of want to be more realistic. I think all of our communities are tight-knit and unwilling to let other cultures overall penetrate them. I don't think it's just the Hmong community. I believe it's the police community. I think it's the Black community. I believe it's the white community. I believe we have all just grouped together and we stick to our opinions and our feelings about each other, and we often do not let other people in to expose themselves to our culture. I don't think that it's always somebody not let. I just think we don't let people in a lot of times, and I think we are tight knit and we don't open up the way we're supposed to as human beings to expose ourselves and give ourselves the opportunity for other people to even know our cultures. So I think we all got to take ownership when it comes to that. Why we don't know each other. We got to take ownership. We could beat down this case we have in front of us, but I just think the fact that this tour in Warsaw is spreading this positivity of letting each other in allows us to actually get to know each other.
Tony, some who worked in the courthouse were frightened by the demonstration. One Marathon County board member compared the march to the KKK. And she later apologized for that comparison. But the fear that was expressed to her by people who were working in that courthouse was real to them, even though others might not have been able to perceive it.
Absolutely. I think a word that's been used, a little phrase that's been used here, is that this whole thing brought the perfect storm. And it was that a lot of the players on this situation were not aware, had never experienced this kind of situation in our in our community. So there was fear because we didn't know what to expect. But it was I'm glad she apologized. I don't know who she was. First time I hear the comment, but I was there, and it was nothing to that effect on the march initially. And also, I wanted to comment on what Ben said. I was on the other end when Ben came around to talk to a lot of the people that were there. And that, at that moment, after the march and months later, showed the power of Toward One WASA, because it was a very enriching situation to see the police officer come, knowing each of the guys' name, knowing each of our names. We felt like we were a team together and understanding what's going on and really hoping for the best and working together for the best. So, you know, and like Chris and Ben were saying, you know, one thing we don't want to people to see Toward One WASA, it's like a reaction of this thing. No, now we want to be proactive. We want to prevent this from happening again, and that way we don't run into the situations that we have a fear that we have recently.
And we should mention that while Dylan Yang got a substantial sentence, it was far less than the 60 years that he could have received. Brad Carter said he supported Judge Lamont Jacobson's decision. Macy Herr, how did the people in the Hmong community overall react to the sentence that was handed down?
You know, that's a good question. I haven't heard a whole lot from those in the Hmong community, and I can't speak for everyone, but I think that they've accepted that that seems, I don't know if the word fair is the right word, but it is what it is, and I think that they've accepted it.
There's something else that we should mention as well. You know, it was the 40th anniversary of the Hmong settlement in WASA. Many good things happened this past year, including the dedication of a statue commemorating Hmong soldiers who fought with America during the Vietnam War, and that drew a big crowd of people of all different racial and ethnic and economic backgrounds.
Yes, I mean, it's certainly a historical moment for this community. You know, ironically, that monument was put up really not that long after, and so. I mean, should I say, yeah. And then, of course, then the sentencing happened afterwards. And so some of the same people who were at the march came and they had a chance to see the monument. And I think they were very happy with what they saw. I think there was a bit of mixed emotions being there at the sentencing at the courthouse with the monument there. But it was definitely having it there is certainly something for our community to be proud of.
The subject on Route 51 today is a new community project called Toward One WASA. Our guests are UW Stevens Point Professor Macy Herr, Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters, Chris Norfleet of People for the Power of Love, and WASA Deputy Chief of Police Ben Bliven. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. We're going to take a short break right now. Here's Soundgarden with their take on an old Beatles song.
Support for WPR comes from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Foster Care Program, dedicated to helping thousands of Wisconsin foster kids connect with caring families. More about being a foster parent is at chw.org/TFC. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
Jesse Colin Young taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we talk about a new community project called Toward One WASA with UW Stevens Point Professor Macy Yang Herr, Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters, Chris Norfleet of the Boys and Girls Club, and WASA Deputy Chief of Police Ben Bliven. I'm Glenn Moberg. We've got one of the goals of Toward One WASA, which is to avoid problems seen nationally in regard to racial tensions. What problems specifically, and do we see the roots of those beginning to form even in our own community? Chris Norfleet, let's start with you.
I would say yes. I would say the incidents we're talking about and the overall perspective that there is no means for people here to really come together as of right now, but I think that's what we're trying to break down and trying to create that sense of community where people embrace each other's cultures and we make a different choice when it comes to raising the bar on what type of community we are. But for right now, yeah, we're still
at
that point.
What I'm thinking of specifically is the Black Lives Matter movement. We had a Black Lives Matter march in Wausau, and this is pretty polarizing. Proponents saying it's simply focusing on an unfortunate part of America. More than 100 years after the end of slavery, there's still racial discrimination, still incidents where unarmed black people are being shot at a disproportionate level by police officers. But then you've got law enforcement advocates seeing it as an attack on the professionalism of police departments, some viewing it as a form of reverse racism.
Well, I wouldn't think for me I think I'd like to live in a society that where if an Irishman says Irish lives matter, no one will get upset. So for a person of color to say that their life matter, it shouldn't create any hostility. I think it goes back to the point of we have not, as a country, state and community, we haven't resolved this pulverizing issue of coming together as one people. We the people should stand for all and not we the people, meaning white.
Ben Bliven, your reaction to how law enforcement people have treated the Black Lives Matter movement, given the fact that we have had a march here in the city of Wausau?
Yeah, I think it comes down to division in our communities. That we need people on both sides to reach out to each other and to extend an olive branch and to get to know each other. And that's the bottom line. And it's true here in Wausau. It's true across our country. We have to be purposeful about developing an understanding of other people and about developing relationships in our communities. And, you know, as we scroll through our Facebook and other social media feeds, and, you know, our opinions are just continually reinforced because who do we follow? Who shows up in our social media feeds? Well, it's people that we agree with. And then when we don't agree with somebody, okay, well, I'm going to unfriend that person. I'm not following them anymore, right? So we have to be able to reach out and in our own minds be willing to look at other viewpoints. That we just have to be able to do that, and that's what Toward One Wausau is about. I encourage any, especially white person out there, if you become a part of this group, come to our dialogues. You will have enriching conversations, and I guarantee that it will be a benefit to you.
You know, your comments about Facebook remind me of President Obama's farewell address the day before yesterday, and I'm going to paraphrase him here. But he said, "If you're tired of arguing with people on the internet, try talking to somebody face to face."
Absolutely. And I think that just goes back, Glenn, to what we started off with, is that the coming together, seeing each other, actually talking to one another. But, of course, with that comes the willingness to listen and be open. That's what we're finding is key.
Tony Gonzalez, you've got 15 seconds for one final comment.
Well, here. I want to challenge everybody to come in to join Toron Wausau. We have fallen into a rut as a nation that completely take one side or another and believe that any particular institution is to one side or the other. Toward One Wausau is absolutely for everybody. We need everybody to participate, get involved, and if you have a question, ask it, and we can talk about it. And one last thing I was going to say, you know, this group is, our motto should be, you know, if not now, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? We have to work together and involve everybody.
Thank you all for being with us today. And we want to thank our friends, Macy Yang Her, Associate Professor of Education at UW Stevens Point, Tony Gonzalez, Executive Director of EAG Interpreters, Chris Norfleet, the founder of People for the Power of Love, and Ben Bliven, Wausau's Deputy Chief of Police. You can take that Toward One Wausau community survey at wpr.org/central. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Bob Marley and the Wailers, Canned Heat, Sly and the Family Stone, Guy Sebastian, Soundgarden, Jesse Colin Young, and War. If you missed part of this program, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau, and it can be downloaded at WPR.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.